So I'm going to be talking today a lot about change. I want to talk about recovery, but not in the typical way that we usually talk about recovery, as in recovering from something. I want to talk about the recovery of the absolute truth of who you are that may have gotten buried deep beneath the dust and grit of a painful and challenging journey. I want to talk about the rediscovery of a sense of confidence and freedom and peace that passeth human understanding that perhaps you've forgotten was even possible. I want to talk about reawakening to your essential nature of wholeness. So I'd like to discuss how the 12 steps of recovery, coupled with universal metaphysical principles, provide the perfect formula for the recovery, rediscovery, and reawakening to who you really are. I know that many of you here today are familiar with the 12 steps of recovery. Is that right? And there may be a lot of you here who believe that the 12 steps of recovery are for those folks over there. People who suffer with addictions typically associated with drugs, alcohol, food, sex, gambling, and the like. But I've come to discover that the 12 steps of recovery can not only address life-threatening addictions, as I just described, but that they can also address and heal life-diminishing addictions. Addictions that limit the very quality of your life. So before you shut your mind down and think, oh, this talk is for my sister. This talk is from my fifth cousin. Maybe I should call my gardener. He drinks a lot. He should come to hear this talk. I want to say, first of all, no, this talk is for you. Can I get an amen? Because even though you may not be able to relate, or maybe you can, but maybe a lot of you here are not able to relate to being addicted to life-threatening addictions, I know that we can all relate to being addicted to chronic fear and worry. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can all relate to being addicted to the illusion that we are unworthy, not good enough, and undeserving. Yes? We are all addicted. We've all experienced addictions at times to being smaller, to living a life that is so much smaller than the amazing life that we're destined to live. Yes? I've discovered that the 12 steps of recovery, coupled with metaphysical principles, that they have the power to address and heal deep core emotional wounds that the 12 steps of recovery in and of themselves are not designed to address. And I've discovered that metaphysical unity teachings, without the accountability and the right action of the 12 steps, are not designed to address either. Can I get an amen? That's why there are so many people that have been in the 12-step program for years and years and years who are still suffering from grave emotional and mental disorders. And there are people in our Unity New Thought movement who are still the walking wounded after being here for years and years and years, still suffering from the same grave emotional and mental disorders. And I was one of those people. And I had to find the way to bridge the gap between these two very powerful healing modalities that allowed me to forgive the unforgivable, to heal in areas where I just once felt hopeless. So let me share with you a little bit how I've come to this understanding. 30 years ago, I was addicted to crack cocaine, compulsive overeating, and all sorts of self-sabotaging behaviors. I was in and out of treatment centers for 6 years, or at the mercy of anyone who would allow me to sleep on their couch for the night. It took 2 years after being introduced to the program of recovery to string 30 consecutive days of clean time together. My addictions left me jobless, homeless, and after being labeled an unfit mother, for a time, even childless. Now, you would think after losing my child and my dignity on the unforgiving streets of South Central Los Angeles, that would have been the bottom I needed to surrender and change my life. But that wasn't my story. My bottom actually came by way of sweet grace in the form of a taxi driver whom I had hailed to take me into the hood to buy more drugs. And instead of doing as I had asked him to do, he pulled his cab over to the side of the road and he shut off the ignition and turned to face me in the back seat. And he looked deeply into my soul and he said, "Young lady, please don't kill yourself today. You don't have to live this way anymore." Now, the miracle wasn't that this guy said this to me. I'd heard that many times during my 6 years in the desert, as I like to call it. The miracle was that in this sweet moment of grace, everything within me lined up, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and the veil of illusion parted, and I caught a glimpse of seeing myself the way God saw me. How many of you have caught a glimpse of seeing yourself the way God sees you? I caught a glimpse of walking in my own brand of dignity. I caught a glimpse of what it felt like just for an instant to be free of fear. To be free. I caught a glimpse of my true self. And I missed her. And I wanted her back. And so I said, "Yes. I want to get clean. But I don't want to just get clean from drugs and alcohol and all of my other physical addictions. I want to live, and I want to live life fully." Well, when the universe heard that, the universe was like, "You want to live life fully? Well, be careful what you ask for." That's all I have to say, because it was on and cracking then. Because there I was with my 30 consecutive days of clean time. And I thought I had arrived. I thought I was healed. Little did I know that all the deep core emotional wounds and childhood wounds and traumatic experiences and fears and insecurities that had been numbed out by my physical and chemical addictions were now fully thawed out, alive, and active in my mind. Can I get an amen? I came to the realization that I was addicted to chronic fear and worry and doubt and uncertainty long before I became addicted to crack cocaine. I was addicted to the illusion that I wasn't enough, that I was unworthy of even God's love, long before I became addicted to compulsive overeating. I was addicted to the self-sabotaging behavior, procrastination, that had me making the same New Year's resolution with the same broken, disconnected mind that had broken it the year before. Amen? I was addicted to the incessant mental chatter that kept telling me the same disempowering lies about myself over and over and over again. And those ways of, that way of being and believing and thinking, they were in place within my consciousness long before they manifested into physical and chemical addiction. So let's get clear about what addiction is. Addiction is when you have become so attached, so committed to a belief system, a thought pattern, a behavior pattern, a way of being that you actually become enslaved or in bondage to it. And you are enslaved or in bondage to it to the degree that you don't know yourself independent of that way of thinking, believing, and being. Can I get an amen? It feels like it's your real self. It feels like it's your true self. Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, says that the alcoholic mind cannot differentiate the truth from the false. Michael Beckwith says that we are sleepwalking, dreaming that we are awake. And mystic Joel Goldsmith says that we have been hypnotized into believing that we are less than expressions of God. And this way of being that we have rehearsed, practiced into our personality, that we have embodied, it feels like it's the truth of who we are, even though it feels limiting and miserable. Can I get an amen? And the thought of releasing it or having it transformed can be terrifying to the ego. Because because change feels like death. I've been around for a long time. I've been in recovery for 30 years. I've been a spiritual practitioner for 16 years. I've been in New Thought for 20 years. And even though I know that something amazing is trying to birth itself through me, that something powerful is seeking to reveal itself through me, every time I come to another point in my life where it's time to release a behavior or a pattern or a belief system, I still get scared. I still get scared because I know that this way of being has got to die. And it's got to die because it's not big enough for the big life that I've said yes to. How many of you, and I want you to really think about this for a moment, are holding on to dominant ways of thinking and being that you know in your heart they are not big enough, they are not a vibrational match for the big life that you are asking for? How many of you? All two of you? And the thought of releasing these limiting, constricting ways of being is scary because change is hard. I know that when the caterpillar is going through that chrysalis stage before it turns into a butterfly, if it had the ability to speak, it would probably say, "Damn, what have I gotten myself into? I think I want to stay a caterpillar." How many of you said that to God? "I'll stay a caterpillar. This change thing is just way too hard." And the universe is saying to you, "Oh no, boo. You've come too far to turn around. And your wings are waiting for you. One more step, just one more step." Scripture says, if we hold on to our little lives, we will lose our souls. But if we let go of our little lives, if we become willing to let go of our little lives, we will have life everlasting. And this meets New Thought because it simply means that as long as we try to hold on to our positioning, our resentments, our fears, our habits that we know are out of alignment with the truth of who we are, we disconnect in consciousness from the very power that we are seeking. But if we become willing to let go, we reconnect to the life force, the truth that sets us free. Bill Wilson says that addiction, all addiction, whether it's physical addiction or emotional addiction, let me hear you say emotional addiction, because I want you to really understand that. Emotional addiction. That all addiction has its foundation in a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy. And a spiritual malady meets New Thought because it simply means that you have forgotten your divine inheritance. You have forgotten that you are one with God. And when you have forgotten that you are one with God, this creates emotional imbalance and emotional dysfunction, where we become obsessed with getting the external world to give us a sense of ease and comfort that only reconnecting to our souls can give us. And this is called the mental obsession. And every time we revisit the familiar pathways of a mental obsession, whether it's an emotional addiction or a physical addiction, a chemical is actually, an addictive chemical, is actually released from our brain, which will ensure that we keep doing the same things, keep repeating the same patterns and the same thoughts while secretly expecting different results. This is not only called insanity, it's called the physical allergy. And so if you are experiencing a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy in any area of your life, you are, and I'm getting ready to say a bad word right now that in our New Thought movement we don't like, you are powerless. Can I get an amen? Powerlessness means when you have sworn on everything holy, that you're going to do things differently, that you're going to think differently, that you're going to be different, that you're going to do, you're going to give up whatever that is, that you're going to abstain from whatever that way of being is. And 5 minutes later, you find yourself right back in that same situation. Am I the only one who's done that? Okay. Powerlessness, admitting powerlessness, is not admitting failure. It's acknowledging, as Jesus the Christ did, that of myself, I can do nothing. And it allows your ego sense of power, your personal sense of power, to get out of the way so that you can tap into the infinite power that can do for you what you do not have the power to do for yourself. In the 10th step, the 11th step of recovery, it says we pray only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Well, therein lies the problem. Because while we are all aware that God's will is synonymous with its nature, which is love, wholeness, peace, abundance, well-beingness, if we can't access the power, the inner power to demonstrate that in our external lives, then we are powerless. And admitting powerlessness from a place of sweet surrender, from a place of I'm ready to get out of the way, from a place of myself I can do nothing, is a dynamic, powerful tool. That is the beginning of the recovery, rediscovery, and reawakening to your soul. A little while back, I had a dilemma that I was trying to figure out with all my heart and all my mind. I was trying to figure out the solution from the consciousness of the problem. How many of you have done that? And I just want to ask you, have you ever just thought your way into a coma? So on this particular day, I just thought my way into a coma. I had a headache because I was thinking really hard. And the answer was not vibrating where I was thinking. And I finally, this amazing affirmation came through me when I finally realized that I didn't have the answer. And I think it's the most powerful affirmation I've ever heard. And I decided to say this affirmation for seven days every time my ego, my head, tried to fix my life again. And this, you want to know what the affirmation is? I don't know crap. So I want you to look at that place in your life right now. Were you working hard? You laboring? You efforting? You trying to make it happen? I want you to just look at it right now. You got it? And I want you on the count of three to say, I don't know crap. Wait a minute. One, two, three. I don't know crap. Didn't that feel good? Say it again. I don't know. Say it again. I don't know. Now go like this. Woo! I don't have the answer, but something in me does. I think I'll get out of the way. And when we admit that we of ourselves can do nothing, that I am powerless, we come to believe in the second step that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And this, from a metaphysical perspective, it comes from the place of the power greater than yourself is, guess what? Your real self. And the definition of restore is to bring something back to its original nature of perfection. So you can't be restored back to something that was never the truth of you in the first place. You weren't, So the second step basically says you were not created in the image and likeness of unworthiness and not enoughness and addiction. You were created in the image and likeness of the power that creates galaxies. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And you can come to believe that this power greater than yourself, that is your real self, the very essence of who you are, can bring you back home. Can bring you back home to your birthright, to the truth of who you are. And guess what? The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't. What? Because it's yours. It's who you are. But in order for this power to restore you to sanity, to wholeness, to oneness, it says we must make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. And I like to say, if the God of your understanding ain't working for you, then it's time to get a new God, or it's time to get a new understanding. Because how can you turn your will, your life, your health, your money, your affairs over to the care of a power that you don't trust. And I know that we in the New Thought movement, we are like loath to say something like that. But we can't heal what we won't acknowledge, and we can't acknowledge what we're not aware of. How can you turn your will and your life over to the care of a power that you don't trust, that you might even be a little pissed off at, that you might feel betrayed and abandoned by, that you have some childhood memories of this reticent, withholding, judgmental God? And even though you really want to surrender, you really want to trust, deep down inside, your foot is on the brake. It's like, oh no. So you've got to get a new understanding to trust in this power and presence that loves you as if you were the only begotten, that's got your back, that wants to succeed in as and through you, that wants to prosper as you, that wants to be all that it is meant to be in as and through you, and it withholds nothing from you. Scripture says, if God be for you, what? Nothing can be against you. But you've got to you not only have to intellectually understand that, you have to embody that. That it is in this power that you can let it go. All that fear, all that worry, you can let it go. And as you let it go, then we go into steps. It says, faith without works is dead. So we go into action. We are led into action, knowing that we're not going into this action alone, that we are divinely guided into this divine right action of steps 4 through 7, where we get to acknowledge the things within our consciousness that block us from having this conscious contact with God. We get to look at the resentments, the belief systems, our mistakes, our ways of being that's creating this unhealed static that takes us out of vibrational range with the very thing we are looking for. And in steps 8 through 10, we get to take compassionate accountability for the people that we have hurt intentionally or unintentionally. And we didn't hurt people because we were bad. We hurt people because we're asleep. And hurt people hurt other people. But the beauty about this is we get to make amends. We get to go to people and we get to make it right. We get to make a situation whole. Scripture says if you have gifts to bring to the altar, if you have aught against your brother, go make it right with your brother first, and then come bring your gifts to the altar. Because as long as you have unhealed static hanging out in the universe and unfinished business hanging out in the universe, you can't make that connection. So those of you that have been around for a long time, and you're like, why can't I make that connection? It's because there is a process of healing. There's a process of unfolding these specific steps that support you in healing those deep, dark areas that you may not even be aware of yet. And now you are at step 11, where it says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Because once you are at step 11, it says you will be amazed before you are halfway through. There is a promise. And in scripture, it says, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room to receive. And in the 12 steps, the promises says, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We know God. We know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Because why? You are now recovered. Now you have the power to speak your word, to speak your affirmation, and say, mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. Now you have the power to say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, false belief. And you have the power to see that it is done. Now you have the power to say, peace be still in the midst of the storm, as Jesus did, and watch the peace descend upon you and in your external affairs. Now you are one with the power. You're always one with the power, but if you're not conscious of it, it can't help you. And 12th step, the 12th step says, as a result of these steps, you are now ready to carry this message to others who are asleep, to others who are suffering. You are able to stand as a transparency of God. And as Jesus the Christ said, when they see you, they see he who sent you. That is recovery. And this is the process of recovery. It takes you from powerlessness to divine empowerment. And even if you don't want to call this process the 12 steps, this is the process. This is the meat of what must happen to clear up that static that's blocking you from being the magnificence that you are. You are now recovered from this place, recovered, have rediscovered the absolute truth of who you are, and you are awakened to your magnificence, and you are now ready to take it to the streets and be a beneficial presence to all that you meet. Peace and blessings.
We are so blessed and so loved today. Love leads the way to divine order. What a perfect reminder from our daily word today to always let love guide us. Life in our busy world can get so fast and frantic. It's easy to get distracted from that most important priority of all, love. As we settle into our chairs for this meditation, I invite you to focus on your heart and breathe in the love that fills our sacred space this morning. It's unmistakable, isn't it? However you can imagine the tiny bits of love here. Take them in. Welcome them gratefully into your body and feel your heart open and expand. How fortunate we are to come together every Sunday in this love-saturated space. We walk in the door each week ready for our time apart with Spirit. Escaping the outer world with that first hello, that first smile of welcome, that first reminder that here at Unity of New York, you are loved and appreciated. And as we take in a deep cleansing breath and feel our chairs supporting us, we can relax and sink easily into the heart of this amazing community that welcomes and sustains us every day of the week. We have followed our hearts to this place today, where no matter what took place in the past week, we can always recenter our minds and thoughts and actions and refocus once again. Revitalized and rejuvenated with Spirit. Trusting our hearts full of love, we begin anew this morning, knowing what to do and how to do it. We are refueled and empowered by love to guide us as divine order prevails over any obstacles. We rest in the knowledge that despite any outward appearance of distress or disease, love will always lead us on the right path. As we breathe and go within, we feel calm washing over us as stress and worry fall away and dissolve into nothingness. In loving prayer and meditation this week, We can trust the right and perfect next steps will be made clear to us, and any rocky places will be made smooth and level. Inspired solutions to challenges are suddenly apparent and undeniable. Doors and windows of opportunity and information spring open, and communication flows with ease and power. Love will find a way where there appears to be no way. Love will calm any conflict or confusion and pour peace into any challenge. And as we move into our time of silence, we shine the light of love into any shadows in our hearts this morning, knowing that as I bring the light and am open to divine order, my heart is peaceful and light-filled again. Here in the endless heart of God and love, we are rebalanced, back on course, returned to center. And as we become aware again of our surroundings and so many loving hearts beating around us, we return and emerge refreshed, calm and sure, to let love lead the way. And so it is. Amen.